The following is a KTCK Sports Presentation.
This is the Tickets Cowboys postgame show with Donovan Lewis, Jake Kemp, and the other guys playing for the ticket team. Get your fill of fresh, hot sports opinions and their immediate knee-jerk reactions, along with plenty of pigskin points from the P1s, too. Brought to you by Fawn Lane Luxury Motor Coaches, Sprout Funding, AutoNation.com, and Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
41% is the number. When a team starts at season 1-1, their chances to make the playoffs, 10% is the number at 0-2. The Cowboys now find themselves the former rather than the latter, as they're 1-1 after a 20-13 win in the home opener over the New York Giants. And really wasn't that close. As Jake Kemp, Donovan Lewis, and Dan McDowell will take you for the next couple of hours. We'll take your phone calls at 888-787-1310. A funny start to this game because it felt like all of the things. It almost feels like we're coaching the team from the media.
The most reactionary yes. team you'll ever see in your entire life.
So many of the things that we discussed that would have been very helpful last week in the opening loss to Carolina. Dak running a little bit more. Maybe you blitz on first down a little bit. And both those things were huge in this game.
It just reminds me of the time T.O. bitched and moaned about not getting targets. And then that one game he got, 18, 19 targets? Like, okay, dude, you know what? Here's the ball. Shut up so we won't have to hear it again. And, yes, you talk about, hey, they don't throw the ball deep. There's a deep touchdown to Tavon Austin.
Like three plays into the game.
Yeah, Dak's not running the ball enough. And he's pulling the ball back out and running around the corner. And it's crazy to see. And then it works. And then it's like the Cowboys will sit back and say, see, you're satisfied? And then go back to doing what they're doing.
Yeah, they won't say that. They won't acknowledge the fact that they changed up things.
But it's almost,
like, no, that's what we do.
And then you kind of go back seeing things that will frustrate you and should frustrate them, because you looked at this game and it's 10-0 at halftime and it felt like the Cowboys are dominating, and 10-0 is not a dominating score. So,
no, it felt, though, that like they were kind of, all right, we're up 10-0. Let's not screw this up.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I suppose, if you're playing against the Giants, because the Giants might just be pretty bad.
No, there's no might to
it. I don't know. I read a lot about the Giants coming into this game, and there were a lot of positive things written about them going this offseason. That, you know, they've a lot of predictions that they will be a lot better. They're going to bounce back. It's going to be a big year for Eli. And I was trying to think, do you remember last year? Like when Eli got benched and that thing turned into a big story, but he deserved to get benched. He looked bad. He is bad.
That offensive line was 37.
Bad. He's 37.
It was bad. The offensive line was very bad tonight for the Giants again, and the Cowboys absolutely exposed them.
They did.
They lost their center early, but whether it was the slot blitzes, whether it was stunts up front, pretty much however the Cowboys wanted to get to Eli, they could. So his number at 33 of 44 for 275 looks fine, but at no point did it feel like you were afraid of their offense tonight.
No, he dropped back 50 times to throw.
Beckham was a non-factor.
Wow.
That's a perfect formula to go out there and try to beat the Giants. If you want Eli to drop back, they spent the number 2 overall pick on a game-changing running back, and they only handed the ball to him 11 times tonight. Now, granted, he got 16 targets in the passing game. That's because the Cowboys just made life miserable for that offensive line and Eli. But, yeah, it felt as though the Cowboys should have just handed – is that me?
Yeah, I think so.
They should have just handed their butts to him tonight, and it seemed like a struggle toward the end, but it really wasn't. You know what I'm saying? If it just had that kind of feel to it tonight.
I'm not sure that there's ever going to be a game where no matter how well the Cowboys play, you feel like they're not going to blow anybody out, you know? I just don't know that they have the mentality, and they're such a run-based team that this is a game where if they were more of a passing type team, I think they would have won by 20 points. But the way they play offense, they slow down a little bit whenever they get ahead. I still think they're way too conservative throughout the game. But you see the impact that Dak's legs has, not only on the running game, but on helping him get in rhythm. And once he started running the ball, he had a stretch there, I think in the third quarter, where he had 4 or 5 really nice throws in a row. Now, granted, I think 2 of them were negated by penalties.
Right.
They had the very odd 3 and out where they actually picked up 2 first downs. because they ended up, you know, sustaining penalties on
two
both of them.
Two holding penalties in a row, yeah.
But it made it made life so much easier for Elliott tonight, who has 17 for 78. Made life easier for Prescott, who was actually, you know, pretty efficient. This is their formula to win games.
Yeah, and it's funny because you'll look statistically and say, man, again, he didn't throw for 200 yards. But still, it was an effective night for him overall because they used his legs and you had no idea what was happening. And he rushed seven times for 45 yards, and that's great. That's what everyone's saying. It's funny that it took a full season and a game to realize that this guy is much better when the threat of him running is in the defense's head.
We had a little bit of an injury concern in this one as Sean Lee left the game. I believe that was late third or early fourth quarter on the final play of a defensive possession. And he was back out there for the second onside kick on the hands team. But he did have some level of hamstring tweak, so we got a little bit of Leighton Vander Esch. But, man, it's tough to gauge it because I don't know how good the Panthers are offensively, really. I know the Giants are very bad, but this defense looks like the real deal. I mean, they're in the backfield. How many times also did you see straight blown coverages in this game?
Right.
Their DBs were phenomenal, locking down maybe the best wide receiver tight end skill set group in the league.
Which they can do if they're getting pressure on them,
yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah, that helps a whole lot because the defensive line and the linebackers and the corners coming off the blitz, it was amazing to see a defense coached by Rob Marinelli have guys coming after the quarterback that you didn't know was going to happen. Like, we're so not used to seeing that it had to shock the Giants and everyone else. Like, where the hell is this coming from? Who is this? What defense is this? To have those guys just mixing it up early on, they confused the heck out of Eli.
And even whenever he had time to throw, the DBs generally played very well in this game. I mean, the Evan Engram trash touchdown there at the end. And other than that, this game was – it never felt like the Giants, again, were threatening Dallas defensively. And, yeah, man, it's kind of strange to think about it because you're talking about their last two first-round picks being on the defensive side of the ball. And even though Taco did recover a fumble tonight, those guys, you don't really need them that much.
Right.
You're going to down the stretch. Sure. You're going to need the depth of Vander Esch. You're going to need Charlton. But, I mean, right now – they look like a for-real defensive unit without even really having to get anything out of their last two first-round picks.
And it's not even smoke and mirrors either. It's not
no.
just saying, okay, you have to sell out to try to become a good defense. They're blitzing early on, and then that's setting everything else up toward the end. They didn't. They played coverage, and they played it well. You're right. Those cornerbacks did a really good job against Shepard and Beckham and Engram. Those are three really good skill position players that did not – basically do anything tonight.
And again, if you got Eli on the run or if you can dominate an offensive line, you're going to see a lot of that this year, I think. You know, so you're pretty lucky. Didn't you say Carolina's offensive line was pretty porous?
Yes.
So these are two good teams to start against in that respect. So I'm, you know, let's see. What do they got coming up? Seattle, Detroit, Houston. I don't know. I guess – you know, things obviously, like if you were picking wins and losses, you might have picked exactly what has happened so far.
Right.
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 So I'm trying to temper enthusiasm. You know, I don't want to get too down after that first loss either, because that's what you kind of thought would happen. But you got to feel great, I think, because that basically you gave up 3 points. That was silly. That last minute that took 10 minutes.
Right.
I don't think really matters.
And I thought offensively, after a really strong start, and especially after the fumble recovery, and we all talked about this during the game and how they played that pretty conservatively offensively after that fumble, just saying, okay, we've got 3 points, let's not mess it up, instead of just trying to punch that thing in the end zone and put the Giants away, which concerns you a little bit. But then you saw flashes tonight of what this offense can do if they get rolling. Now, are we going to see it at any time for 4 quarters? I don't know. But you saw it for at least a couple quarters here where when Dak found a rhythm, he looked really, really good.
That still is very frustrating to me, though. If you force a turnover, if you're affecting the pocket that often, you're eventually going to cause a fumble. You saw it today with Jacksonville and New England. They were back there all day. Eventually, you're going to get the ball from Brady. The Cowboys get it from Eli, and we talked about it in here. That is when you get the most conservative version of Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan. Is that they're already in field goal territory, and Dan was bringing up that for a long time you've heard Bill Belichick espouse the idea that this is where we're going to try to shock him.
No, Parcells did that when he was here.
Me. Yeah, that was
a big thing when he was here. When you get a turnover, let's say midfield, we go deep. Because if you think about it, and I'm not a big guy to talk about momentum being an actual thing, but there is a – you just had guys on the bench. They were sitting there thinking, I'm going to be here for the next 5 minutes or so or whatever. You know, they didn't expect a change of possession. Now everybody scrambles, grabs their helmet. They're running onto the field. It's the defense. You know, you're kind of – here, we're back on the field already. I didn't think – you know, and shock them. Fire one. You know, and the Cowboys handed off up the middle to Zeke for 1 yard. And that's – you know, you felt like they were very happy just to get those 3 points. And, you know, that's a time, like you said, Donovan, you could be trying to put them away right there. What was that? They went up 13-0 at that point. It's still a two-score game. It's not – really that big of a deal. Now, luckily, you were able to hold them, you know. But, yeah, I would like to see a little more. That's a small criticism in a game that doesn't deserve a ton of criticism. They were great. They came out offensively creative. We can say it's a reaction to the media and all that, and it is. But then we can actually give them their due and say they were very creative. They used all that Dak has to offer, and I think if you use all that Dak has to offer, he's a different animal. You know, Zeke didn't run wild, but he was effective when needed. And then the defense kind of carried them, kind of just held the game, and you know that defensive line really, really is impressive.
And if you look at them from the offensive standpoint, you talked about Dak, you talk about Zeke, but then the receiving core, they have a kind of a funky stat sheet for this one because Tavon Austin is their leading receiver by yardage with 79 yards. That's on 2 catches as his 64-yard touchdown on the third play of the game. And if you take that out, I mean, that puts Dak at under 100 yards. But it doesn't feel like he was bad through the air.
That's interesting because they did say at the beginning of the fourth, right, that half of his yardage had come from one play.
But he did have a few stretches where when he needed to make some throws either on third down or to move the chains on second down, and it was largely Deontay Thompson. I think at least two of maybe three of his catches were for first downs. Those were big-time throws.
He got in a great rhythm where he was threading needles left and right.
He had a couple of throws where the one to Gallup I thought was perfectly placed.
No one else could get to that.
Yes, if Gallup's not going to catch it, no one's going to catch it. The one to Beasley was in a tight window, and I think another one to Thompson was in a tight window. And just something that we always talk about, Dak holding the ball on just a little bit too late, and I still think he does that. But it seems like he was getting a little bit better when he needed it. The offense went into a little lull in the second quarter, and that can be frustrating after you see such a start, the start that they had, because the Giants are bad. And even defensively, they have good guys on defense, but that's not a good team right now. And you don't want to give a team like that any hope, because when we sat back and watched the game, it was like, okay, you know what? We can say all we want, but if they make one play, they're within one score, and this game is going to get really tight. So you want to put teams like that away when you can, and you want to try to get in a good role offensively when you can. And they started out hot and then kind of went into the tank a little bit in the second quarter. But, hey, you know what? You got to win. 2013, 1-1, like Chris Collinsworth said, you are on top of your division right now.
Yes, although it's quite a fight.
It is a fight.
Really a strong division. With 3 teams leading it. I thought it was very encouraging what they did at the end of the game. They needed that big long drive and eat a ton of clock, and they did. They got the ball in the fourth quarter, were able to
14 plays.
That put the game away.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, when the Cowboys are rolling offensively, it's a boring offense, but when things like that happen, that's not boring. That's hit them in the mouth, all up in your face football that you're used to seeing with this team when it's rolling.
And even more specifically, that 14-play drive that Dan's referring to put the game away, that's where Dak was in rhythm. That's where he had that Gallup throw, Beasley throw, a Thompson throw, a keep for himself off to the left. Another keep where he started out left, put his foot in the ground, faked inside, and boy, he was real close to taking off with that one.
And often you think of those, you know, time-consuming drives at the end of a game being all Zeke.
Right.
And it was anything but.
It was Dak through the air and Dak with his legs. So the Cowboys get the win 20-13. No real huge plays from Saquon Barkley. I think that's what we were all worried about after what he did in week one.
Did they say he had 14 receptions?
He had 14 receptions on 16 targets.
Donovan was saying, is that a record for a running back? So I'm looking at – I'm trying to find the record for receptions by a running back, but I'm just seeing a list with the record of every team. And it does. I do have Tiki Barber had the team record of 13 prior to this game. So he's broken a Giants record at least. Priest Holmes had 13.
I'd love to see Elliott more involved in the passing game in the way that they use Barkley. But I guess a lot of Barkley's was just kind of a outlet dump down after he was getting blitzed and there was nothing available. But
80 yards, right?
Yeah.
Eli had tight butt. All night.
Very much the Cowboys gave it to him.
Yes,
I think.
And that's how you could give out tight butt, and they made it happen. But
so he has dumb face and tight butt.
Yeah,
yep, yeah.
We're that's not going to make.
And
the
you
promo.
Saw it when they tried to pick him up.
Yes,
and you have now a nice new Eli meme as his eyes are huge, wondering what the hell was going on.
All right, we're talking tight butt. Here
how did
on
he
the
win
ticket.
Two Super Bowls?
I know.
You can't take.
Like, haven't you said that throughout his whole career? Like during every regular season ever, even those seasons he was winning those Super Bowls, you did not say this is a guy that's going to win the Super Bowl later this year.
I think he looks at his jewelry box and he goes, boy, how did I get those?
Yeah.
As he's rubbing his tight butt.
It drives me crazy, but at least watching him flame out at this late stage of his career makes it pretty enjoyable. 2013 Cowboys win. They improved to 1-1, dropping the Giants to 0-2. 888-787-1310. 888-787-1310. When we continue, we will take your phone calls. This is the Tickets Cowboys postgame show.
Bring Polo Wally in now as a fullback, the former Raider. Fake to Elliott, and they go deep downfield and getting open and making the catch at the 25-yard line and taking it all the way into the end zone is Tavon Austin. Touchdown, Cowboys.
A wonderful play off the line by Tavon Austin. Gave a little juke move to Janoris Jenkins. He went to the house. First series of the game, Cowboys go up 7-0. They defeat the New York Giants 20-13, 1-1 on the season. Dak Prescott 16-25, 160 yards, one touchdown, was not sacked once. Zeke 17 carries, 78 yards, one touchdown. Dak 7 carries, 45 yards. And they beat up on Eli Manning, 6 sacks, had him running for his life all night. He had to throw a lot of passes in the flat to Saquon Barkley. 14 catches for 80 yards for Saquon. He only had 11 carries for 28 yards. And yes, look at those thighs on Saquon Barkley. That's all they talked about tonight, boys. Jake, Dan, Donovan, we're here. We'll be here for a while to talk Cowboys. 888-787-1310 is the number if you want to join us here in just a second. Defensively, this team looks like the real deal. Like we talked about in the last segment, it is against Carolina and the Giants. Now, I'm not going to discount the weapons that the Giants have because they do have really good skill position players, including Barkley and Beckham and Shepard and Ingram. That's a tall task. And they just didn't let Eli get comfortable at all tonight on the line. DeMarcus Lawrence only had one sack, but he was really disruptive. Yeah, Taco back there, Tyrone Crawford making plays. It's impressive what this defense has done the first couple of games. You kind of temper excitement until you go against a really, really effective offense. But early returns seem like this defense may carry this team.
I think Carolina's at least an average offense, and they held them to 16. If you saw what Carolina did today, they lost, but Cam threw for 335.
Right.
C-Mac had 102. They averaged 6.7 yards a carry. I mean, I think they're pretty decent. They miss Olsen, obviously, but I think Dallas has now performed pretty well against an average offense and very, very well against a below-average offense. But, yeah, you're doing all this without Randy Gregory, and you're doing all this without David Irving. As Gregory was inactive today,
right?
Rico Gathers was active and did have one target. It was a little too tall for him.
Two targets, matter of fact.
Oh, did he have?
Rico had the one in the end zone where Dak missed him, his worst throw of the day.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
He was wide open.
Yep.
And then the one where he was rolling out, scrambling and threw it a little bit high over his head. But defensively, it's probably a pie-in-the-sky scenario to imagine that you're ever going to have all of these guys active in one game being DeMarcus Lawrence, Tyrone Crawford, David Irving, Randy Gregory, and Taco Charlton. But if you did, that can be unblockable. I mean, on passing downs, that people forget how good David Irving was last year.
He was.
Because there's so much BS around him, and I don't know that that's ever going to go away. And I know he's back at the facility, and he can play in two more games. But, man, if they had Irving and Gregory out there to add to what you saw tonight.
That's crazy to think about, that this team has turned to a front seven that is not average. Because you remember those seasons where we talked about this team, if this defense is just average, it would be okay because they were so good offensively. Now you're hearing these guys talking about how great a front seven this is, and I just can't believe that this has turned that quickly.
Well, and tonight it seemed like they were using a bit of the creativity that they were criticized for not using, right? They were doing a lot of blitzing. It just seemed like more than you usually see. And I think the whole point of an awesome front seven, if you can get all those guys healthy and not suspended and all that at the same time, is that you don't have to do that stuff. Because a really good offense is going to make you pay for blitzing. And you got to pick and choose your times to do it. This is not a really good offense. The Giants kind of remind me of the Cowboys at the end of the Aikman career, where they were trying to build around Aikman, and they still had Aikman, and they still love Aikman, and they love Eli. You know, the owner was very upset apparently that he got benched, and instead of getting rid of Eli and starting over in the offseason, the thought is let's build around Eli. Let's make sure we keep Beckham. You know, let's make sure that we will draft a running back. That'll make things easier on Eli. And I think it's just a bad plan. It seems like a really bad formula. It was a bad formula for the Cowboys to go trade a couple number ones for Joey Galloway and just say, you know, let's just put some more stuff around Troy. We need stuff for Troy, when they probably needed a lot more for the whole team, as do the Giants. So not sure that. I mean, the Cowboys looked great, and they beat up on a team they probably should beat up on.
What they're trying to do is similar to what the Cowboys were trying to do around 2014 with Romo. The logic of it anyways, right? And that even whenever they took Zeke to put him with Romo. But the problem is...
But Romo is at such higher level than Eli now, though.
I feel like
Eli last year just looked old and wobbly and...
But I think what they're trying to do is to not have him drop back 50 times a game so that he has less opportunity to look old and wobbly and he can hand it off. And if they cut down his dropbacks to 35, maybe he's a little more efficient. But he was on his ass all night. They sacked him 6 times for 59
yards.
Right,
and the Cowboys also had a nice offensive line in front of
Romo. That's what I'm saying. This is a great plan, but you need more than just Saquon Barkley. You need to be able to keep your quarterback upright. And 6 sacks for 59 yards and... 5 of those on the blitz, and it was pretty unconventional blitzes. It was first and second down. It was Anthony Brown and Frazier off the edge. It was, you know, their creativity on offense was really matched by what they had on defense.
Sure, sure. And they showed what they were going to do a couple of times, and the Giants still couldn't stop it. And I don't care who you are. If you're nervous every time you take a couple of steps back thinking there's going to be a guy in your face, then, all right, you know what? I need to try to get rid of this ball. It's going to make that guy look older and wobblier. And that's exactly what happened.
Here's the thing. With the offense, Dak had 45 yards rushing, and I'm thinking this guy should have 40 yards rushing a game. Are they worried about the fact that they have no other – like if they put Cooper Rush in, they're done?
I think they have been before.
Like are they – do they not want to do that, and is that why we don't see Dak run so much?
Before, yes. I don't know if this is a wake-up call. I don't know if they just did it because of what the Giants have shown – them on tape, and they said, okay, this is a good plan for this week, and they're just going to can it next week. But we all know that he'll be more effective when he gets a few carries. I called a 15-carry game like Cam Newton had in week one, something that maybe can get Dak in rhythm. That's just the quarterback he is, and that's the offense he's used to running, and he's most effective. So
and he's not wiry. I mean, that's
right.
He's built
he's
for
an
this.
Ox. And, yeah, I mean, he's
– you know, you heard Cam say – that, all right, I would rather run the football. At least I can almost see where the hits are coming from and I can brace myself instead of standing in the pocket and getting drilled when sometimes you get hit from the blind side. So, yes, guys that size with that strength can take a few hits, and I bet you it gets them going a little bit.
Well, just think of it this way. You saw two different styles of play and approaches at quarterback tonight. You saw one guy who did not want to run at all and drop back 50 times, and you saw another guy who used his legs to pick up a fourth down on a sneak and really change the game outside. Which one of those two guys do you think's body is going to hurt worse tomorrow? Eli got beat up tonight. I don't think Dak really took a big shot at all, even on the running plays. Even on one of them, he got tackled, and that's about it. The rest of them were kind of just he decided to go down.
His biggest hit was probably on the quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Because people are just falling on him, and that's the nature of that play.
And there's the Cowboys, if they're 50 or in, if it's fourth and one, there should never even be a question for me because I don't think you can stop the quarterback sneak anyways. But if you have Zach Martin up there and you've got a quarterback that weighs 250, 260 pounds, you should be running that every time. It's a 93% success rate over the years. And Tom Brady is not exactly a physical freak, and they do it every time.
Eli did it twice.
No, I've seen Brady do it a million times, and you've wondered why Dak doesn't.
I wonder if
he would have done it if the Giants hadn't already done it previously in the game.
They did do it a little bit more last year, but you know what used to drive me crazy is they wouldn't do it with Romo at all. I mean, especially the last 5 years of his career where I think they were worried that if somebody breathed on his back in the trenches that he was going to be hurt. But it's a weapon that is just right there for you to use.
Boy, especially the one where they showed the first one Eli did and the Cowboys lined up and gave him the massive hole under center. And it's like, okay, anyone could have gotten that first down.
And that was after a defensive timeout.
Right, right.
That was the plan there.
You have to talk this thing over and say, okay, look, this is exactly what we're going to do. Got it? Ready. And this is why the middle is wide open, and he got the first down.
Why aren't we taking calls? Let's do it.
Let's do that next.
Now.
It's 10:45. It's Jake. It's Donovan. It's Dan. It's the Cowboys postgame show after a 2013 Cowboys win over the Giants. They're in first place in the NFC East at 1-1. How about that? We will come back, take your calls, and have fun in the sun. That's next on the Cowboys postgame show on The Ticket.